Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. So if you like movies, you're in the right place. Each week we talk about a couple movies, what we've been watching, give our thoughts on some movies, some trivia. It's like you walk out of the theater with someone and go, what did you think of that? You give some thoughts on it. This week we're doing Eat Locals and The Screaming Skull. We thought we would celebrate a little Halloween in June. And we're available everywhere podcasts are. So please leave a rating and review on your audio platform of choice. And go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there. And of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and podcast named Tim.com. There are movie posters for the over 400 movies we've watched. Click on the movie poster and you can listen to our thoughts on that particular movie. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
Fantastic.
Well, that is good. That is good. I'm excited to see what else you've watched this week. I don't know why. I have a feeling like my spidey senses are tingling. I feel like you've watched some good stuff.
No.
Set you up for that.
Well, yeah, The Office.
Yeah. Still?
The greatest show, sitcom ever.
Really? You've now?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, cause it's got it all. Still love Seinfeld, but I think this one's better.
Okay.
I am a official Office junkie.
You've watched it enough at this point to.
It's just I don't know. I've watched Seinfeld this many times too, so I don't know what it is about it. It's just the whole cast, the writing, the directing, it's just a fantastically put together show.
Well, I watched a few things this week. I watched.
I wasn't done. I still have. Go ahead. I watched Woman in the Window.
How was that? What was it?
I'm trying to say it's not a remake of Rear Window, but it definitely drew from that. You could feel a little Hitchcock at times, and you could think it was Amy Adams. The reason I watched it, your grandmother, she loves Amy Adams, so she told me to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It just never really congealed into an actual good movie. It was like right on the fringe of something and didn't have somebody to knock it out.
Okay.
What else did I watch? I watched The Conjuring last night. That was my first viewing of The Conjuring, believe it or not.
I think I've seen that.
We liked it. I would have liked to see it in theaters, but I can definitely tell the theaters would have given it that creepier feel like it does at home. It's not quite as... I don't think horror movies are ever as scary at home. Except for that one...
Hush?
That one with the,
Hush?
I don't think that... It's one of the people broke into the people's house.
Oh, Strangers? The Strangers?
Something like that. That was a little creepy. Yeah, it was good. Alex had been the one to watch it because he had seen the previews to the new one and wanted to watch it. So, and then I've been on to Disney and decided to watch Loki.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by it. Because I'm pretty sure what they're doing is they're going to take Loki to fix Loki.
Okay.
They've explained the time. It's all about time stream, and that these people have put the time stream together, and Loki messed up the time stream. When he jumped out, when he grabbed the cube and jumped out at the place in Endgame or one of those. So it goes from that. And it says you're not supposed to do that. So they reset you. But the problem is his time stream is supposed to be done. So Owen Wilson's kind of a guy. He's kind of a big deal. He's saying he's chasing people that have done things through history. And that what's supposed to be the time stream, and they kind of go back and reset it and fix it.
Yeah.
So the one this week, the very small little clip, Loki was D.B. Cooper.
Okay.
They actually gave it that Loki was the actual D.B. Cooper. So I think that's what they're going to do is weekly kind of get him to fix his own timeline. We'll see. I watched two or three episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm liking it.
Okay.
A lot more action.
Yeah.
Loki's kind of got a little bit of a, not comedy, but it's a little more light. Falcon and Snowman is actually an action show.
Falcon and Snowman?
Falcon and Snowman. What'd I say?
You said Falcon and Snowman.
Yeah, whoever. Falcon Winter and Soldier. Winter Soldier. Yeah. Yeah, Snowman. That's our nickname for him.
Yeah.
No, I liked it.
Now, did you watch WandaVision?
I did.
And your thoughts? Into it. Okay.
I need to rewatch it. Maybe I was not, I don't know. It was a little too strange. I don't know. It was kind of, they put him in a sitcom, and but it changed each week. You know, they did like a seven. I like the fact that, you know, they had a 70s feel one week, and all the props looked like the Dick Van Dyke show. And then when they did the 80s, it looked like this show, and the 90s looked like Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I don't know if I really got it. It was too smart for me, I think.
Okay.
I think I didn't quite understand exactly what was going on. So, what else did I watch? I thought I watched something else, but we'll leave it at that so that I won't hog all the time.
That's right. Don't hog all the time. I'm going through my list. We'll get to our movie, The Screaming Skull, later, but I've watched some other movies from that DVD so that I can cancel it out and get rid of it. I watched Jesse James meets Frankenstein's Daughter. Pretty much what you would expect it to be. It hit the notes it needed to hit. It was kind of largely a Western. One of Jesse James' crew, he's like a big lad, and he gets kidnapped by Jesse James' daughter. They're in Mexico. They fled the other places because they're in Mexico for some reason, and they take one of his crew and make him into the Frankenstein monster, basically.
Isn't there a Billy the Kid versus Dracula?
I think there is. Rewatched episode 3 of Star Wars, The Revenge of the Sith. Me and the wife have been watching Clone Wars, and I wanted to gear up for season 7 because it kind of ties in directly with episode 3. There's things that are happening at the same time as the movie's happening, and you kind of need to have your mind set for that. So we watched Revenge of the Sith. She was kind of like, you know, Clone Wars is better. It's like, yeah. But as I called you the other day, I still have not figured out the unique tie-in between Anakin's choice and Darth Vader's choice in 3 and 6, and how there's certainly a point George Lucas is trying to make there. I haven't figured out what it is. I think there is.
I'm not sold on that yet.
Okay. We watched Bo Burnham's Inside, his new comedy special. I don't think you would like it.
Well, I remembered why I didn't like it.
Why?
I put on one of his albums at night and said, listen to Jeffries or one of them. I don't like musical kind. I don't like all that music crap. Leave your keyboard, leave your fancy little... I mean, Adam Sandler every now and then when he does a couple things, but Bo does too much of it.
Well, that's a given. Inside was interesting. It is hard to call it a comedy show. Allison called it an art expose. It is much more, he's someone who has talked about this before, that he has a lot of anxiety. He did his last live special in 2016. He said he had he had 45 shows in 50 days. He was going on tour. He said, I had 10 panic attacks. And he said, I quit. He said, I haven't done live comedy in 5 years. He said, I couldn't deal with it anymore. And he has a lot of anxiety issues, and a lot of things like that. And I think he's dealt with some depression and stuff. So Inside is, he's got that, I guess, office shed that he works out of. And it's basically, here's how I, as a person with anxiety, spent my year dealing with COVID. In this room, trying to make a comedy special that I was forcing myself to try and complete, but also it wasn't being completed at the timeline I wanted it to get done. And then when I was close to finishing it, I didn't want to finish it because it was the only thing keeping me sane. It was more like that. Like, let me give you an insight to what I was dealing with. There were some really good bits. It, as always, he has a lot to say about the internet and social media and the evils of it. And he does a great job of parodying a lot of things that are in media right now, like Twitch streaming. And there's a great song he has about called White Girl Instagram. And he basically recreates every single photo and little video you've ever seen on a white girl's Instagram. And the directing of it was fantastic. More than anything else. More than the actual comedy of the songs. The directing of it. And because he's like, I didn't have any crew. It's me, a camera, and this room. And I'm trying. And he found ways in that little room to shoot things fun and put on little light shows. And he made it interesting. So it is much more artsy in some respects, but it was good. I don't know if I'd watch it again.
I'm gonna put it in the past file.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it. It is not as funny as some of the other shows, but it's much more of an interesting watch because of some of the other elements.
I don't need comedians to be interesting. I need them to be funny.
I mean, I had some moments, but
Kevin Hart, grab a mic, talk about shit.
Tell me some jokes. I started but have not finished the last movie from the DVD that I was talking about, which is Frozen Alive. So it's Dementia 13, Frozen Alive, Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter, and the movie we're watching today, Screaming Skull. So I'm almost done with Frozen Alive. And then when I watch that DVD will be out of my house.
Burned. Pretty good frisbees.
That's right. So that's what I've been doing and playing a lot of No Man's Sky. So back into that. That's it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, well, let's start out with Eat Locals. But before we get into that, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Eat Locals came out in 2017 as a TVMA rating, 1 hour and 34 minute runtime, a 5.4 on IMDb, a 21 on the tomato meter, and a 40% from the audience. It stars Freema. How do you say her last name?
Eggman? I don't know.
Eggman. Of course, of Doctor Who fame. There are several people in this movie who have appeared in some Doctor Who episodes. And then there's Jason Fleming is the director and written by Danny King. The movie is not what it was. Your selection of the week is not what I expected, but here's the gimmick. Because I didn't read anything until I turned it on. There is a group of 8 British vampires who meet up one night, and things kind of go awry. That's the movie. Since it was your movie, I'll go first. I thought this was a hidden gem. Excellent pick by you. It is. I was expecting a cannibal movie. I don't know why, but I love the lore. I love the idea of what was going on. I love the comedy of it. It was a fun movie in that respects. They're trying to recruit that other guy to try and get him to join their crew, and he's just not interested. No, thank you. And I love just, I loved everything about this movie. I thought this was an excellent pick. We can get into it more, but what did you
think? I thought it missed.
Really?
I was so hoping and all I got this on was the preview. That's all the preview. I thought maybe this is our new Shaun of the Dead. Looks maybe it's going to have that same kind of comedy mixed with holy crap, what's going on here? It could have. I hated it. It just didn't quite get to where it got with you. But maybe if I watch it again, maybe I was a little distracted while I was watching it for some reason.
Okay. I think I would like to see a show based on this the idea presented here, as far as. You have these vampires that have their territories and they kind of, do their thing. I don't know. I don't know what the show exactly would be, but I think there's potential here for a really good, maybe short run series. But I think something here could work.
I thought the title and the catchphrases and stuff were wrong for this movie.
I agree. I think it was
more because, like you, I kind of thought it was going to be more of a maybe a cannibal type movie or.
I thought it was
something
gonna be...
to where they, you know, lured the locals in and dined on them. I mean, they even said from the farm to the fork. Yeah, the movie poster, just the fact that it's local. So I thought that was a bad choice of the title. Now, I don't have a better one yet. I don't know, something just which I like Freeman, of course, because Claire. Some of the other characters. What?
She wasn't Claire. She was whatever, a different person.
She was Martha.
Yeah.
Martha. Sorry. I don't know. Just something that it really was hitting. It was like, oh, I like that part, but maybe I was just being pretentious and thinking I could do it better, which I get into my head sometimes with.
That's kind of the gimmick of the show. I was along for the ride. I was really sold on the idea of, you know, there's these eight. I just the lore fascinated me because I like that it was a very different take on vampires. You know, we've seen vampires done to death, and you know normally it's brooding. Black leather, and they had one of those people on there. They had like different versions of what a vampire should be. They had a gentleman. They had, you know, a crazy old lady. They had
enjoyed the crazy old lady with the machine gun.
They commented on how people know kung fu, and they had a guy who knew all the kung fu. So it hit like it had like a different trope for each person. And that's what I really appreciated about it. You had the woman who was, you know, alluring and sensual, and she's dragging you in with her looks. And so there was just so many different elements on there, and I like that they all kind of worked together, and they had this council and meetings, and you knew that there was more going on.
Right.
There's other people going on. And I liked that it was just eight of them. You know, it's like, this is it. And they have, you know, quotas they have to meet.
Always been eight.
Yeah, I liked all of that. I liked the quota system, and you had them discussing their ideas about being a vampire. Like, I don't need humans because I was a human once.
Right.
Like, there was just a lot of stuff that they played around with the vampire lore that I liked.
What about the couple, the house they were in?
Yeah, they were murderers, and they chose their, you know, their victims.
Now, they were cannibals.
Yeah.
That was a little strange. I think what took me out of it was the soldiers.
You didn't like the tried and true gimmick of we're soldiers and we want to make a deal to get a weapon.
I don't know, something about the soldiers, whatever they flipped to them. I think that's what kept taking me out of it.
You know what I was hoping from the soldiers? When I saw them, what I envisioned in my mind was there's this, you know, ancient organization of vampires, and there's maybe this lineage of soldiers that are like Van Helsing, and
right.
This is just like the militarized Van Helsing army, basically.
Yeah,
that's what I thought they were.
I think that's what it was. Wasn't it? Kinda.
Was it?
I don't know. It didn't seem like. I mean, they weren't shocked by this. They've been.
Yeah. This. They.
They
I was
showed up too early.
Yeah, they were like from the very beginning.
Yeah, I would have liked a little more of the. The godfatherish council of the vampires, a little more dialogue, a little more dialogue sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little more banter between the vampires, knowing that a problem was coming, but maybe not having the problem hit them quite as early as it did.
I think the biggest issue that I had with the movie was I thought that they propositioned the mark too early and too direct. Like, you got to lead someone in on that.
Right.
But I guess if they did say, oh, you didn't tell him, and then, you know, they were expecting him to kind of been told. Like, I didn't know why they were picking him. They said something about, like, he's a 12th generation something something. I was like, I don't know what that means, but that was never explained.
Yeah, he's purebred.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I liked Tony Curran.
He was great.
He's always good. I loved him in Ray Donovan, and I'm trying to think what else I've seen him in. He always plays a good heavy.
And of course, in Doctor Who, he was.
Go ahead. I can't.
He was Vincent Van Gogh.
No, thank you. I was seeing it, and I couldn't think. Yes,
in that great up.
Yes, yes. Vincent and the Doctor.
But do you think? I know you said it, Mr. Mork. A 21 on the tomato meter seems...
You sold me a little more.
Okay, well, that's what I'm...
Because you pointed out some things that I guess I kind of got lost in. I got pinpointed on the fact that I didn't like it because of the one thing and I didn't think about the...
And I like the end. That now there's some company out there selling skincare.
Right. The end was great.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where the TV show should go from.
That's why I want something. I want something with this little council of people that have their own little territories. And
the end kind of reminded me of what's the British anthology series, the Black Mirror.
I've never seen it.
It reminded me of one of their stories.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. This felt like,
I would love it, but I'm gonna watch it again and see if I can't get myself.
But do you agree that a 21% is inappropriate?
Way too low. Yeah, that's too low.
I mean, at minimum, it's a 6, right? It's good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other particular bits that
the old woman on the walker.
Yeah, that was good. I liked. Like I said, I like the kung fu guy that they made fun of, like the trench coat version of vampires. I like that they were like the end of the movie when they were setting up the plan to go out there, and he's like, "Have you seen Zulu?" And he's using a movie right to kind of pitch on how this would work. So I thought that was interesting. I really really enjoyed this.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah,
I found it right by accident.
That's fine.
I was sitting there going, huh, I like the show. Martha, gotta do it. Gotta show some love for the companions.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and hop
not
to...
Not as much love as that show to Amy.
Let's go ahead and skip to my movie of the week. The Screaming Skull. Again, I picked it.
I'll be back.
I think we have a similar opinion on this film, but there are some things.
Film.
It came out in 1958. 1 hour and 8 minute runtime, has a 3.8 on IMDb. No tomato meter, but there is an 18% on the audience score. It's about a newly married couple who go to the husband's house. There's some bunch of skulls, although not as many as I was hoping for, and you find out that he has murdered his wife at one point, and she is now haunting the house because I guess he plans on murdering his new wife, it seems like. I'll let you go first. Go ahead. First of all, I'm sorry. It should not have been this bad.
Well, it was like a third-rate version of the Twilight Zone episode. It was horrendous. The acting was, oh my god, that guy, the main guy.
Yeah.
Can't think of the name. His acting, he was still doing the 1920s and 30s version of acting, with all of this, let us go. The skulls were ridiculous. I mean,
they needed more of them.
What's that?
They needed more screaming skulls.
Not if they were going to look like that.
I wanted like a room full of skulls.
The fact that the director put his ass in the movie when he couldn't act a lick was horrendous. Yeah, it was just bad. It was an hour and 6 minutes of the pure torture. Now, the good thing. The one good thing I enjoyed.
Yes.
I always love this era of movies when the beginning of the movie sells the movie into being.
Yes.
They were going to guarantee if they killed you, they were going to pay for your burial.
That was great.
That shtick was, I knew as soon as I saw that it was going to be a really bad movie, because the more they did like that, they were usually really bad. But I love that era movie where they, don't come if you had a heart condition, and they blow you into some really big thing. But that was a good opening. But
after that,
it was all downhill.
That was the best part of the movie. This was released as the top half of a double feature with Terror from the Year 5000. So if you're on the top half, did you want to be the last movie or the first movie in a double feature? This was the best movie in theory of the two.
Oh, this was the last one?
This was the top half.
Oh.
Right?
I was taking baseball. I'm sorry. I was doing the other way around.
I'm assuming, right? The top half would be the second one, right?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know that industry's jargon. So we'll say that this was the main event.
Well, Terror from the Year 5000 has a 2.8, and this has a 3.8. So
well, if that was the opener, I'm not going to watch it.
Here's what I will say. There was one part in the actual movie that I did actually like. And that was the grave site, the actual tombstone of the late wife. I thought that was a really cool look. I've never seen a tombstone like that. Where it had like this like really tall pyramid and then a sculpture, like a face.
Right.
And I thought they could have done a lot of really cool stuff with that. I know they did
now with a budget.
They could have done some basic claymation stuff to make it
look something. Oh, claymation, that would have been horrendous.
That's okay.
You need to go to some old cemeteries that have some really crazy tombstones in those old cemeteries. I mean, pyramids and big, long pipe, what's that?
Yeah.
And they're and the things that are on them and the carvings and the stuff, it's like, geez, these people thought more to themselves.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I think this came out afterwards, so it's not going to make sense. It felt like a Psycho kind of ripoff, where it's like, here's this clean-cut guy that, happens to be the bad guy and the murderer. And I'm fine with them doing that. I'm fine with it. If that's what the movie wanted to do,
right?
That's fine. You can string that along better. I mean, as simple as most of the movie was him randomly disappearing at night and not being anywhere in the house. And then shit's going down and the wife's there kind of like, what do I do?
She can scream.
She had to scream. But she was just paralyzed. Like, there wasn't enough for her to play around with or do anything. And he wasn't there to sell you on the idea that it wasn't him.
True.
And we didn't build to that reveal very well.
I wanted it to be the priest.
Yeah, I thought there was a million ways you could have done this.
Yeah.
And they had the red herring. They were the proper story elements of what you would want in this film. You had the red herring of the gardener. You had, just a lot of those things there. It just, like you said, it felt like a C-rate.
The throne skull.
You had stuff there that you could have worked with to make it just serviceable.
I don't know, homie.
Right?
I'm not seeing it, but if you see the ingredients are there, I can sell out.
Here's my question, though. How many times has he done this? Like, is he just constantly marrying off women? And it seemed like he's purposely targeting women who have mental issues.
Well, of course.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have done more. Like, he could have had, like, five wives that you would have found out about.
Are there any women that don't have mental issues, though? The wife's not here. I can say that.
Yeah. I like this car. This car at the beginning was very nice.
The movie sucked.
It was god awful. Other than that opening, like you said, when you got that classic, this is going to be the scariest thing you've ever seen. Like that.
We will pay for your funeral if we kill you.
That was excellent. I watched this movie twice, technically, because I watched it once and then I watched the Mystery Science.
You are a brave man.
Woo! Mystery Science Theater did a riff on it, so I was like, all right, I'll watch and see what they had to say. And they did a great bit where they had Crow. Was it Crow? One of the robots. Call in. It was Tom Servo. Tom Servo called an insurance agency basically to try and, I just died from this and I need you to send me my casket. And then of course they shipped it to him, but he tried to talk him out of it after he realizes that they were really going to do it, and then he had to pay for the shipping. So they did a great bit with cashing in on that. So yes, I watched this movie twice, and they actually did. In that same episode, they did a riff. I guess they needed more material to work with, so they did a riff on a Gumby episode.
I don't think you're allowed to say a riff with Mystery Science Theater. That's a whole other good
thing. I think those are the same people.
Riff track.
And it says they riffed. I think riffing is what you do.
All right.
So they riffed on a Gumby episode, and it was probably the one you've. It's one that has stuck out to me. It was the one where the robots, where they turn the robots up to like 11, basically, and they're doing all the chores for them, and then they start going crazy and destroying.
The fact that you actually know of a Gumby episode.
Do you remember that one?
Worries, no.
I remember that like, when they started doing it
before.
When they started doing it, I was like, "Oh, I remember this episode," which was weird because I watched Gumby and you know.
The only Gumby I remember is Eddie Murphy's Gumby. Merry Christmas, damn it!
I remember that episode.
that's kind of scary.
It's like
did I let you watch that?
Someone put Gumby on. There are several episodes that I've watched.
I'm thinking that was your mom's.
There's a couple episodes I've watched as an adult, and I'm like, I remember this.
Yeah.
So I remember that. So yeah, they riffed on that Gumby episode. This was a piece of shit.
Yep.
There's one tiny little other thing.
Yeah.
One more little thing. I thought I heard a couple times in the music that Shining riff.
Well, it had the tuba that sounded kind of like it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yes, that's right here. I'm looking at the trivia. A different piece was used. A different version of the same piece was used later during the. Watching this, and I was like, I'm hearing the Shining music now.
Yeah, that tuba sound and that, definitely reminded me of the thing.
Yeah, so I was like, so I did like hearing that. I was like, oh, all right, well, something scary must be happening because I'm hearing that tuba, you know. So there you go.
Tony ever tell you about this place? About the Overlook Hotel?
What's an interesting movie?
Wow, that is not a word I would ever put with this.
I'm using it facetiously. Not great. That's probably
screaming the shit. That's what it should have been called.
Not good. Okay, well,
I won this week.
Yep, on to that. Yeah. Oh yes. Easily. I watched the
screaming. I didn't even try.
I watched the Screaming Skull first, and I immediately was like, "Well, I lost."
I did too. I watched it immediately when we got off filming the other one, and was like, "Ooh, wow! I hope violence better than this.
I bet. Distinct possibility. So, I'm hopeful that next week will be better. We're doing Cars. Car movies. Not Cars the movie. Car-themed movies, because Fast and the Furious 9 is coming out. Or is it called Fast 9 or F9? I don't know what the hell they're called at this point.
Who cares?
We didn't want... Look, I like to tie things to movies coming out, because it makes it easier for us to come up with gimmicks. So...
Now the movies are going to actually start coming back out.
That's right. I'm sure we'll do a basketball-themed movie here soon when Space Jam comes out. So, our
Space
week.
Jam? They did redo the Space Jam?
Yeah. So, we're doing car-themed movies. I wanted to pick something. I couldn't find it for free, so you tell me what you picked.
First. I did the same thing. I had one in mind, but I couldn't find it for free, and I didn't want to make you buy.
Was it Christine?
No.
Okay, I wanted to pick
Christine. Was the first thing popped into my head, and then I thought that'd be really hard to review. So I decided I was going to go with Corvette Summer. I don't know if you know who's in Corvette Summer.
I do know who's in Corvette Summer.
But I couldn't find it for free. Oh. So I, you know how those wonderful things on Prime show you look for this? Well, you might want to watch one of these. And I found a movie. A Roger Corman joint. Eat My Dust.
Eat My Dust. Well, more eats.
And it's got the whole Howard family in it. I don't think I've ever seen Ron and Clint together in a movie.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So, I think they've been in the same movie. But I actually shared screen time. I can't think of one.
I don't know.
But yeah, the fact that it was Ron Howard in a Roger Corman joint. He didn't direct it. He produced it. But apparently this is the whole reason Ron Howard took it is because he wanted to work with the Roger Corman production team.
Eat My Dust. Okay. Okay. Well, I have a movie. I believe it is on Tubi. It is a movie that was recommended to me years ago, and I never got around to watching it. And now we're going to do it. I think you might have seen this before. We're going to watch Rubber.
Devin, your brother Devin has told me to watch this many times.
Yes. My friend.
Necessarily gave an opinion on it. He just said, have you watched it?
John Harrell told me to watch this.
I do know what it's about.
Yeah, John Harrell told me to watch it years ago.
Next week might get interesting.
I think so. Yes. Rubber and Eat My Dust. What are we doing?
We went off the rails. We have jumped the shark.
We did that a long time ago. I have no clue what we're going to do the week after that. I have some ideas to pitch you on some long-term gimmicks. Like last year, we did the 60s, 80s. We did decades. Like to do something like states. Like different, like movies about different states.
Oh, my Lord.
That could take a while. That take place
movies
there. Or
states.
Well, like take place there or, you know.
Don't pick Paris, Texas.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a boring ass movie.
That was just an idea, but we don't have to do that. It might be hard for a couple of states, obviously.
I don't have any ideas. Or, you're the puppet master. You just tell me what to do.
I'm working on some ideas because I think we're going to have some stuff coming up. I guess after this, we're probably going to need to do an Independence Day or like a 4th of July episode.
Who cares about that?
Well, we can. You can
play old news.
You can play.
Why do we still celebrate that? Okay, we won. We've been a country, and all we've done is screw it up. Why are we still celebrating that? If you want a reason to eat hot dogs and hamburgers, just eat the freaking hot dog and hamburger.
Maybe.
I don't get it.
But we'll see. I got some ideas I'm thinking about for some gimmicks.
It's a grand old.
Well,
King George was right.
No.
Yeah, he was. You'll be back. Oh, that's what I watched. I watched In the Heights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How was that?
It was all right. It was, I didn't like it as much as Hamilton. It is, how do you say his name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
There you go. He definitely has a style. I mean, because this is actually an older thing. I think they've been trying to make this for like 10 years or so.
Oh, okay.
The guy from High School Musical, what he was supposed to do it originally, but then
Zac Efron.
No. No. The choreographer and director.
Oh yeah, the guy who directed the greatest movie of all time, Newsies.
What's his name?
I don't know his name, but that guy.
I can't think of his name. But anyway. Yeah, but this, I mean, it's got the rap rhythm and the things. The lyrics in this seemed forced. Like, Hamilton just kind of flowed through the story and told you the story.
Yeah.
This one was like, all right, this guy's doing this, so I got to make sure that that's what it sounds like. And it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't flow with me. Okay. Nothing wrong with the movie. It's not horrible. It's an actual movie. It's not a video of the stage production. So yeah. Actually, some of the scenes are pretty elaborate. Having to be on the sets they were on, and all, but it was all right.
I watched not all of, but some of Hairspray for the first time. I don't get it.
I love Hairspray.
I like some of the songs, but explain this to me, because maybe you know. Did they approach John Travolta with the role, or did John Travolta approach them about wanting to be in the movie?
You know what? I don't know. Because the original was an actual drag queen that did it originally. I cannot think of that guy's name. Well, I'm not doing good with names today.
You're getting old. That's
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And,
okay, yeah, yeah.
Heavy set guy. Well, drag queen. So I don't know. It was a wonderful role for Travolta. I thought it was great.
He was god awful in this film.
Well, he was supposed to be silly acting, and I mean, him and Christopher Walken dancing was worth the price of admission.
It's not because it's a drag queen thing, you know. Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo were fun in the other two Wong Fu. I just was like, John, what are you doing, man?
I would guess he went for the role himself.
Yeah?
I would think so. We'll have to figure that out.
Maybe you can answer this for me, because I have a theory now. And it's funny because they're in a movie together. Are John Travolta and Nicolas Cage basically the same actor as far as, like, we're just going to do weird stuff and not actually act good, but people... But John Travolta is just the more successful Nicolas Cage.
It's an interesting theory.
Right? Because he's not really a good actor.
I think that would make a good documentary.
That would. I think there are two sides of the same coin.
Let's call it face on instead of face off.
Yeah, I think.
And just
because it's like, it's weird. Once a decade, they make a good movie. And then the rest is complete crap.
And I think they know it. I think it's all about the check. Well, except for Battlefield Earth. He actually liked that, I think. Well, yeah. I don't know if he liked it afterward. Then I talked to him about that. Does he realize how bad that was?
I don't know. I think he's probably still convinced.
Or maybe he never watches stuff. You know, I think 80% of actors never even watch their own stuff.
Yeah. They're kind of the same person.
Maybe he does like an Omar Sharif. You know Omar Sharif?
No. Well, yeah, the guy, yeah, yeah.
He was in Dr. Zhivago. But he is a avid bridge player.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come out, make a movie for the money, to go do that. That's it. Didn't care what it was. He would just, and then disappeared. Came back when he needed to support himself some more at all so he can just sit around and play bridge. Don't get it. Don't know. Never played bridge.
Me either. Okay. Well, those are our thoughts for this week. So I'm excited. I'm excited for next
week. What movies are we doing next?
Eat My Dust and Rubber.
I know.
Yes. We'll come up with some.
My goal this week somehow to get Alex to watch Rubber with me.
You got how much money do you have?
So I'm going to have to bribe him. That's what it's all about with him. Because I know basically what it's about. So I'm thinking that would be his. I'd like to secretly tape his thoughts on it. Yes. He has some really funny lines while watching stuff over here that I can't remember them afterwards, but they're treasures. They're classic.
Oh, he's much funnier than he lets on.
He is very dry and witty.
Yes. All right. Well,
anyway,
I will see you.
About 30 minutes into Eat My Dust, so I'm going to go finish that.
Okay. Cool.
And then figure out my plot. Trick him into watching Rubber.
Okay, well, you enjoy the rest of your day. And you all come back next week. Make sure you subscribe and all that good stuff.
Are we the Beverly Hillbillies?
Absolutely. Come back next week, y'all.
What?
Come back next week, y'all.
Come back, y'all, here.
Well. Goodbye.
Adieu.